Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought. Hold on, y'all. Okay, I'm sorry. Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought. Intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9544. Oh, please press the number 1 if you want to speak. You can contact the show. This is live by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organ. Tonight's topic, in the news, we're going to talk about three things in particular. One, Mitch McConnell votes against interracial marriage. It's kind of misleading heading. Mass shooting in America, not as rare as you think. Why is Kyrie Irving still being crucified? Right? So, we're going to start off with old Mitch. Mitch voted against, they say he voted against interracial marriage, the interracial marriage bill, despite being in an interracial marriage, right? So he's married to an Asian young lady, Secretary of Transportation, Elaine Chao, who is Taiwanese American, right? So he voted against this Respect for Marriage Act, which includes the protection of interracial marriages. See, now the plot thickens, right? Okay, so anyway, Mitch is reelected as leader of the Senate GOP on the Respect for Marriage Act was created to repeal the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, which federally defined marriage between one man and one woman. All right, so I guess you just for now you can get where this is going at, right? The bill will require all states to recognize legal marriages where they are performed regardless of sex, race, ethnicity, and national origin. So if you're like me, you're wondering, Respect for Marriage Act, why do you need that? Right? Following his vote against advancing the legislation, McConnell was criticized by social media and by users who pointed to his relationship. Hey. So the writer here, let's see, what's the writer's name? Michelle Day Pacina, right? Says she's guessing that he was opposed. His opposition has to do with the same-sex marriage part of the Defense of Marriage Act, not the interracial marriage. Well, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out, right? This is what investigative reporter Brendan Kirby wrote, right? So regardless of his vote, right, the bill set to pass in the Senate after it received 60 votes. It needed the 60 votes it needed to move forward, right? There were 12 Republican senators who joined Democrats in voting for the proposal in a 62-37 vote, right? So first, I was wondering, and we know I'm no genius, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen, but are we still voting on laws to make interracial marriage legal? Something is wrong with this picture. But why is interracial marriage even included on this bill? BetterHelp.com said that interracial marriage clause laws and cases. Since the year 1967, interracial marriage has been legal in the United States. In 1967, the Supreme Court ruled in Loving versus Virginia that prohibiting people from getting married because of their race, right, violates the 14th Amendment. States that all citizens have a certain fundamental right, including the right to marry. The Supreme Court found that past interracial marriage laws violated the fundamental rights of individuals and ruled these laws unconstitutional in 1967. All right, so what is interracial marriage? Why would interracial marriage be piggybacked on this Respect for Marriage Act? Not making sense to me. Right? So that means that interracial marriage was illegal for about 191 years after the birth of the nation. These laws were known as anti-miscegenation laws. If the legality of interracial marriage was resolved in 1967, why are these geniuses voting on a Respect for Marriage Act, which includes the protection of interracial marriages, particularly because the Supreme Court found laws prohibiting interracial marriage unconstitutional and a violation of the citizens' 14th Amendment rights in 1967. Are we paying, is the Keystone people up here in the, you know, the houses? What's going on? Are they wasting our time? Are they, you know, this is a done deal, and there is no vote necessary to secure support or legalize. It's a done deal. Right? So on June 26, 2015, the Supreme Court ruled in Albertville versus Hodges that the 14th Amendment requires that all U.S. states to recognize same-sex marriages. That's in 2015, right? H.R. 8404, the Respect for Marriage Act, as introduced in the House on July 18, 2022. So what's going on? What do we need that for? Why are these guys just up there passing laws, you know, just making up stuff? We already have the Respect for Marriage Act, right? They say it's a bipartisan bill. United States Congress to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. Okay? So they made this to, these guys having listen, this is a waste of our time. Y'all see what these people are doing in government. It was to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act dogma and require that U.S. federal government to recognize the validity of same-sex and interracial marriages. How did interracial get tagged on today from 1967? Somebody help me out with that. Anyway. The first version was in 2009. It was supported by former Republican U.S. Representative Bill Barr, right? Anyway, the Defense of Marriage Act or dogma basically allows states to refuse to recognize same-sex marriage granted under the laws of other states. Granted under the laws of other states. But we just had the Supreme Court say that, hey, it's legal, right? So Britannica, right? Defense of Marriage Act law, the U.S. Public Law 104-199 law in force from 1996 to 2013 that specifically denied to same-sex couples all the benefits and recognition given to opposite-sex couples, right? So the real issue here is the respect for same-sex marriage, because same-sex marriage was not recognized by the Supreme Court until 6/26/2015. That's what's really going on. I don't know why you're piggybanking. This is not a marriage act at all. The Respect for Marriage Act was created to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. This is about same-sex marriages, period. Interracial marriage should not have been included on this bill. Interracial marriage should not have been mentioned or included because it is not being referenced in the Defense of Marriage Act and being validated by the Supreme Court in 1967, or about 48 years ago today. Even more, if same-sex marriage was recognized by the Supreme Court in June 26, 2015, there was no need for H.R. 8404, the Respect the Marriage Act. What is that all about? If it was really a Respect the Marriage Act, it would include heterosexual marriages, and it does not. The bill is an attempt to encourage, coerce, or force people to respect same-sex marriage. Hence, the Respect for Marriage, the Respect for Same-Sex Marriage Act, right? Mitch McConnell voted against the real reason H.R. 8404, the Respect for Marriage Act, was created. In other words, the Respect for Marriage Act should have been called the Respect for Same-Sex Marriage Act. Piggybacking interracial marriage is an attempt to co-categorize interracial and same-sex marriage and gain the sympathy and support of those who accept interracial marriage. The two issues are not the same or similar. The only thing they have in common is that they were both once illegal. Excluding heterosexual marriage supports the fact that the H.R. 8404, the Respect for Marriage Act, is not inclusive of all marriages, and particularly heterosexual marriage. There is no provision for same-sex marriage in the Constitution because the Founding Fathers either never considered authorizing same-sex marriage or believed it to be wrong and against their so-called Puritan moral and ethics, or legalizing same-sex marriage afforded them no social economic advance. They did establish laws prohibiting interracial marriage, which perpetuated and advanced white supremacy. Yet, they included the Creator in relationship to the 14th Amendment. Now, we know, you know, the forefathers of this country, they have a lot of some contradiction with these guys, right? So the sentiment behind the phrase "One Nation Under God" was inspired by the efforts of Thomas Jefferson and his fellow founding father, who knew that the government should not grant the rights of man. Instead, they were inherently given through an entity more powerful than themselves. They established that our freedom is a natural right that no one could barricade, as stated in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, namely life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think black people was one-fourth a man, one-fifth, something. He wasn't even a whole man in them at the time they were saying that, even though we were whole men. So, anyway, no president or Congress member can grant us our rights. These rights are unalienable rights given to us at birth. The phrase "One Nation Under God" amplifies this message. So it sounds like these slaveholding folk believed, you know, that was a God-given right. So anyway, same-sex marriage was recognized by the Supreme Court in June 26, 2015. End of story. It's legal, recognized by the government. The H.R. 8404, Respect for Marriage Act, is excessive and borderline tyrannical. The Supreme Court ruling should be enough. You can't force anyone to respect any type of marriage, heterosexual, interracial, or homosexual. When will the geniuses on Capitol Hill get this? Do they really expect people to simply do as they dictate or decree? Anyway, I also think that is why Mitch McConnell voted against the H.R. 8404, the Respect for Marriage Act, being in an interracial marriage himself. He was voting against same-sex marriage, right? So I hope I didn't go too fast with that. Anyway, U.S. passed the 600 mass shootings for the third straight year. The United States passes 600 mass shootings for the third straight year. This is a problem, right? Because we got to get to the bottom of what is causing this. This is a serious problem. You know, it's being repeated. It's not rare like we used to think. We used to say mass shootings were rare, but 600 a year, that's not rare. Right? The U.S. has seen more than 600 mass shootings for the third straight year. According to a nonprofit gun violence archive, there have been 609 incidents in 2022 in which four or more people other than the attacker were shot, putting the U.S. on pace to reach around 675 by the end of the year. That's mass shooting. Mass shooting means I think it's four more people. And so I was wondering if they were including this stuff that's happening on the street between these hood stuff. It's four of them, but they're including that in the mass shooting. Or does mass, you know, I was wondering if mass shooting was just a guy just going out shooting into a crowd, you know, or going around shooting people just because. Anyway, last year saw a staggering 690 mass shooters across the nation, up from 610 in 2020 and 417 in 2019. Okay, so we are living in some terrible times. Listen to this, y'all. This is we are, you know, the country has three mass shootings of it's three mass shootings away from 2022 being the second highest yearly total since we began tracking data, they said. Five people were killed in a mass shooting in a Club Q nightclub in the Colorado Springs, right, earlier this week, right? Six were killed in a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia, right? The recent deaths add to the grim total number of gun violence deaths in the U.S. Gun violence archive database puts at 39,816. So whether you think so or not, you know, those are wartime numbers. More than 8,000 of those deaths were homicides, while around 21,500 were suicides. Now, we have more suicides out of these deaths than homicides. Something to think about. Something is wrong with this picture. The U.S. has experienced an average of 1.68 mass shootings per year, per day, I mean, so far this year. So we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. The average has been above one, I think that's probably one a day each year since 2019, right? With 1.9 mass shooters per day in 2021. So the real reason mass shootings are on the rise, personal perspective, mass shootings are symptomatic of a sick society, as person says, the writer says, Tyler Woods, right? From Psychology Today, right? Says, basically, we're a bunch of sick folks. And I'm not saying if he's right or she's right or wrong. Key point, the FBI study of active shooter incidents revealed that mass public shootings have greatly increased in recent years. Mass shooters are often incorrectly portrayed as mentally unhinged individuals who simply snap and engage in a killing rampage. Perpetrators are likely to be angry, vengeful individuals who seek retribution for a perceived harm done by some person, group, or institution. Mass public shooting incidents are generally premeditated and well-planned in advance of their commission. Okay, the FBI had a study of active shooter incidents, confirms that mass public shootings have increased in recent years, which I've been saying since I started this, which is what the reason why I'm even mentioning this today, because something is wrong with the picture. The study on 192 so-called active shooter cases occurred between 2017 and 2021. The FBI defined an active shooter as one who is actively engaged in killing or attempting to kill people in a public place, regardless of the number of casualties that occur. That broadens the ban for active shooter, right? The FBI excludes from its analysis family-related mass murders that occurred in private locations such as S. homes. The motive for murdering family members, family sides, in private is very different, they say, right? So, for the period between 2017 and 2021, the FBI active shooter incident data revealed a dramatic upward trend, right? And I could just say this whole thing is just saying that. This is just, I'm just giving you some data, information from different groups that are saying it, so you don't just say I'm saying it, which I'm not really saying it anyway. I'm reading I'm giving you information that other people are saying. We have a caller, 1111. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on, my brother?
Ain't nothing chilling, man. The thing you're talking about, I mean, you approaching it from a responsible position, man. I mean, you know, it's a violent society, always has been. So, you know, with more guns, of course, you're going to have what you're going to have. But, you know, you got to always add the pressure cooker that capitalism actually is on people, where, you know, food, clothes, and shelter, man, it is what it is. That's any society.
Basic
needs. Ability to acquire. Yeah. People's ability to acquire those things are going to cause pressure, and that's going to lead to violence in certain situations. But then you got the other aspect of it, where it's just point blank, period. There is no political party in America that's actually going to do anything about gun legislation because it's a non-winning issue. Democrat or Republican, they may say thoughts and prayers after something happens or whatever, but neither one of these parties is ever going to come for people's guns because that's a losing issue. You put up too strict gun legislation, your party will not win for a generation, and they know that,
right.
So they're not actually going to do anything about it. But like you said, all of these pressures still exist. And then you just got the regular violence that any society would have where people get, you know, people get into it and things go too far. But, you know, America has a specific history and violence is a part of that foundation. So.
Yeah. It seems the way that's the way things get done here. I'm not, you know, I mean, look at it. It was birthed out of violence, right? Starting with the, you know, colonization, slavery, and right up until the death. You know, we have we have the most nuclear weapons, I think, on the planet. I think the United States has the most. You can't get more violent than that.
Most definitely.
I'm going to kill. Everybody goes. You understand what I'm saying? So whose idea was, who thought that was a good idea? You know, they worry about this guy in Korea getting one, warhead in the sky when they can destroy the whole planet 10 times over. That includes everybody
and then at the same time, they're not worried about Kim. They're not worried about anything North Korea has. North Korea is kind of just an irritant, but they're not worried about them actually winning or anything like that. You go back to that Korean War where you basically decimated that whole country, killed half the population, and then divided it into two. That's what you did to them, and then
that's
now
right.
You come back and talk about how you worried about them.
Right.
And, you know, they play the game, too, so they shoot off those rockets over Japan, and then eventually we got to come in with some aid to get them to stop. They take the money, and then they wait, and then a couple of years later they do it again. But you go back and look at that Bandung conference that Malcolm talked about in the 60s, and his grandfather, you find out that North Korean group had a lot of solidarity with black folks way back in the day when they first, became independent and were trying to, you know, fight against the West and the East, really.
Right.
They were beefing with Russia as well. So, yeah, it's some heavy stuff, man.
So basically, it's a violent planet, and this ain't just U.S.
Yeah, but then you got to think about, okay, who charted the rules for this engagement? And now we got to go back to, what, 1483, when a certain group of people started meeting other people in the world, and they met everybody else in the world with violence, and
right.
That became, you know what I'm saying, the rules of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So
colonization.
This is a Eurocentric view of thinking, and that thinking is always he with the biggest rock should rule. Caveman thought.
So you don't have to have a big rock in your head. Just have a big rock in your hand. Like kids about the brain.
Right.
Don't care about that rock in your head. They care about the rock in your hand.
Big facts, man.
It's funny, but it ain't funny, you know. But, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this will end like all other ones have. So no empire lasts forever. So eventually this goes the other way. And at that point, man, they're going to have to live with their own legacy. And will it be trusted to get the hands on the steering wheel again? I doubt it.
Yeah, I think
did you see
time
the guy
up.
From the soccer thing, from the World Cup? Did you see him the other day?
No, what happened?
So the guy who runs the World Cup, you know, everybody's accusing him of bribery and corruption, which, you know, is real big with the World Cup as far as who
right.
gets it and all that. So they were talking about how since they're in Qatar and, you know, there's no alcohol, they got all these strict, you know, beliefs and rules.
Right.
And, they don't let you record. They don't let you do all kinds of stuff over there. And so England and some of these other countries are talking about gay rights and all this other stuff that's not allowed in that country and how that country is backwards and all this other stuff. And the dude, he said, look, we don't have the track record to criticize anybody about morality. We got 3,000
right.
years of misbehavior, so we don't need to criticize anyone. Like, dude actually got up on that mic and said that. Now, of course, he's saying that, you know, because he wanted to take the money, but, I mean,
right.
he still had a point.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he had a good point. A historic point. Yeah, it's documented. You don't have to take his word for it. You can go read.
Right.
Right?
So they like, man, you sitting up here trying to talk all this junk about freedom and all this other stuff, man.
They don't really mean it. He know. He called it. He called their hand. That's what he did. Yeah, called them out.
Big facts. I know you got a show to do, but I mean, can I weigh in on the Kyrie thing before I go? Because I know you got a
Oh, you know, that's my last bit. That's my last one.
Oh, you want to wait? Okay.
Yeah, I'm coming in after this here because that's an amazing situation. Let me run through this here. You can hold on if you want. You can just say, wait.
Yeah, I hold on.
All right. So the U.S. Have made scapegoats out of legislation, lobbyists, gun manufacturers, law enforcement authorities, the mental health field, schools, and even the media, right? Thus the blame for the mass shooting epidemic, right? Because, guns don't kill, people kill, but there's a reason why people kill. So that's what we understand. As the mother just said, there's certain conditions that facilitate violence. We know what it is, poverty, hopelessness, desperation, right? So we're going to get to some of that soon. They said there are no truth to be found behind popular arguments such as blaming of assault rifles and mass shooting problem. It is certainly true that assault rifles exacerbate the problem, make it worse, right? But their existence and availability are not the cause of it. So sometimes we don't understand that the weaponry just increases the lethality of the individual. I mean, first, I could kill you with my hands. I could kill you with a rock. I could kill you with a knife. I could kill you with a projectile, or I could have a rifle or a pistol. So what you know? So that is not explaining why this person feels that way, that he has to do that. And, you know, right now we have a more homicide going on, and especially in certain areas of whatever big city you live in, and some of the small, I hear down in small towns, like down south, they grinding up each other the same way. You know what I'm saying? So I said, other developed countries that we consider to be our peers simply do not have the problem with mass shooting incidents as we do. The very roots of our mass shooting epidemic may be found in the core cultural value and individualism, right? Belief in vengeance, and the ethic that Might is right. That's that caveman mentality that he was just talking about, have the biggest rock rules, right? The cultural values have been central to what it means to be an American since our nation's birth. I hear they say Americans are cocky, too. We have always loved to settle disputes at the individual and group levels with violence and guns, and we gleefully celebrate vigilantism in our popular culture, right? There are powerful, diverse, and negative social forces at work today that fuel the increase in mass public shooting. These factors include, but not limited to, financial and health care fears, declining belief in American, in the American dream. Like, you can't be, they tell everybody you can be all you can be. No, you can try to be all you want to be. There's no guarantee that you're going to, that anyone will succeed, all right? One man succeed doesn't mean that another man will, but if you don't try, you will never know if you can succeed. So the American dream is like a carrot that they put in front of everybody. Distrust of government, racism, xenophobia, religious and gender biases, hate crime, domestic terrorism, and near constant wars since 2001, they said. The above factors have led to fear, alienation, powerlessness, rage, and for millions of years of people in our country, tragically, but predictably, an increasing number of Americans are striking out in horrible public acts of mass violence against innocent strangers that are driven by rage and unfounded retribution. So they said this crisis demands that we reassess our core values and priorities as a society, as it deserves our collective commitment to change and growth if we are to stem the tide of this terrible phenomenon. As you know, I know we're supposed to be collective here. Everybody thinks that we're working together. We have these times when we vote and things like that. But trust me, just if we were working together, would we have some of these situations? You know, just hope these people who feel hopelessness, shouldn't they be helped? We wouldn't have this disproportionate distribution of the wealth and the resources. Would we have that if we were working together? Think about it. Understanding gun violence and mass shooting. Public mass shooting, this is from qmit.columbia.ed, right? Public mass shootings are rare, were once rare, now occur with shocking frequency, as I said. Washington Post link is internal and opens in a new, according to the Washington Post, four or more people are killed in this horrific manner every 47 days. The most recent shootings since this article, but this is 2019, they were talking about what happened in Dayton, El Paso, Texas, occurred in less than a day apart. They said, but only 3-5% of violent events are attributed to mental illness. We think that, oh, he's that dude snapped. Well, you know, I mean, and that's debatable in terms of the mental health of the individual. Because anybody who's murdering someone for means of self defense, we have to look at their mental health anyway. I don't care who it is. But you do have these individuals who are visually or mentally impaired at the time that they do things. I take that into account. So I'm in agreement with that. But I think that some people who murder have mental health issues. Much of the increased risk of violence in people with mental disorders is attributable to other variables rather than to the disorders themselves. Substance abuse, they say, accounts for a large portion of the risk, right? So complications of incidents and mass shootings suggest that people with severe mental disorder may be overrepresented among the perpetrators. Because we like to say, oh, he's crazy, right? So so mental disorder, I'm assuming that means that person has a diagnosis they're talking about. Or will have a diagnosis based on the behavior they exhibited. Then we got this thing about video games. They found no association between video games and other types of screen time and gun ownership among teens, right? You know, I had my theories that violent video games increase the appetite for violence. So when is that, some people might think that doesn't mean anything, but it does mean something. If you have an appetite for violence, you are one step to getting to real violence. So researchers analyzed that the CDC's youth risk behavior surveillance system, which served tens of thousands of teens about 55 different behaviors over a period of 10 years. Among the 5% to 10% of American teens who report regularly carrying a firearm, there is much stronger association with substance abuse, engagement in physical fighting, and exposure to sexual violence than with any poor mental health indicator. So that's culture right there. That's a violent culture they're talking about. You'll see, I guess, mass shootings. Somebody just roll up on a bunch of people standing on the corner. I know everybody's seen it. Broad daylight, and somebody just start gunning down, try to gun down anybody on the corner, right? They say gun laws with more permissive gun laws and greater ownership of firearms had higher rates of mass shootings than the states with more restrictions on gun ownership. So states with more permissive gun laws, so they were able to get more guns, they were able to shoot more people than the people who have restrictions on gun ownership. Okay. I wonder how the black market fits into there in terms of obtaining a gun. Anyway, it said the analysts revealed that U.S. gun laws have become more permissive in the past decade, which is, I've been saying, right? So in other countries, the implementation of laws restricting the purchase and access to guns in other countries has also been associated with reduction in gun-related death. Well, if you can't get a gun, then you're not going to kill nobody with a gun. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to kill nobody. Like you said, you can kill somebody with a rock, your hand, a knife, whatever. Wow. So you have the desire to kill. That just is easy. I mean, a gun just makes it so that a 10-year-old can be a killer. Where, like, normally he might not be able to do that. So while the research did not conclusively prove that restrictions or relaxations of laws reduce gun deaths, they say the results indicate that gun violence tends to decline after countries pass new restrictions on gun purchasing and ownership. So if it's harder to get a gun, I mean, it's logic to think that it's you know, you're going to have less guns to kill people with, right? So I'm going to skip to what needs to happen. They said we have crossed every metaphorical line of rage without lifting a single finger to do anything about it. Such, we've seen churches, schools, music festivals, grocery stores, movies, theaters, and a number of other public places become memorials, right? Don't forget the victims. Don't look away from the 10 Black Lives lost in Buffalo to racism and gun violence, right? Students in classrooms can't be taught about anything related to race. Teachers can have conversation about gender, can't have a conversation about gender, but we're good with active shooter drills being a part of the curriculum. Make it, he says, that doesn't make sense anyway, right? Well, that's easy. That is classic power and control. Those who have the power to dictate behavior, education, conversation, resources, truth, or lies. Four reasons gun control can't solve America's violent problem, right? They said suicide is a central problem in America, gun violence, and they say that 38,000 Americans die from gun violence every year, an average of 100 per day. Partner and family violence are a huge part of the problem. The war on drugs can't be overlooked, they said. Without access to legal means of resolving conflicts, people involved in the illicit alcohol business, for which there was a massive, they're talking about prohibition. They used prohibition as an example. I skipped that part. And in the 20th century, they had this thing called prohibition. People might not remember. There was drinking alcohol. Then they said, no, you can't do that. It's illegal. That's called prohibition. And so what happened was they weren't able to solve the conflicts legally. So what they do, they handle disputes with gunfire. But that's the American way, as we said at the beginning. Violence was especially pronounced in large cities, which experienced a homicide rate increase of nearly 80%. That sound familiar? Even as this is from Prohibition, the nation's homicide rate increased over 40%. Legal bans on drugs of sales led to a vacuum in legal regulation. Instead of going to court, drug suppliers settled their disputes by what? Shooting each other. So I don't know. It seems like we are a bunch of sick people. Not all of us, because we, as my friend said, we use the term we don't mean every single body, but speaking in a broad sense. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that all Americans are gun happy, murdering, mad people. It said despite being gun control advocates, the researchers understand that there are underlying social drivers of violence that transcends guns and warrant our attention, right? And that's what we were talking about. Now, I heard David Banner talk about the ghetto, how it was a German experiment where first a community of animals and then a community of people were given minimal resources. The animals turned on each other. He said they tore each other apart. And the people, well, you can see what we're doing in similar situations. I also remember an experiment done with rats. It was called Rat Utopia, right? And they turned on each other too. Hopelessness breeds desperation, which leads to violence. Oddly enough, the poor do not have a monopoly on violence. The greedy, narcissistic ones have to gain and maintain control over their disproportionate piece of the pie. And no matter how you cut it, how much you talk around it, disguise it, deny it, someone always speaks out or lashes out against the injustice and tyranny of the powerful ones. So, said solution to guns, more or less, the more mass shootings shake society, the more different people propose different solutions, right? And yeah, because they're trying to come up with a solution to this. But hey, like you said, there's something wrong with this picture, and it's consistent. And you can see it happening all over the country. Gun control to counter gun availability, raise awareness about mental illness to counter the fact that many mass shooters show signs of mental instability, more accurately regulating violence in video games. Many mass shooters are youth who play games, and certain studies show that violent video games can desensitize a person's feelings toward others. So you get kind of desensitized to violence, right? None of them are the root cause of mass shooting, though. Thus, dealing with the problem at those levels will fail to bring about any lasting solutions, right? They say the cost of mass shootings is overblown human ego, which I can see that. See a lot of that, actually. I've seen a lot of that coming up. That's one of the causes, right? I call it failure to thrive, but these guys call it the overblown human ego, self-interest at the expense of others, that society's current regulations and framework fail to satisfy. They cannot succeed normally, so that they create their own culture of success. And most of the time it's making you afraid of them and bullying you and you know, so like, you know, I'm a killer. That means don't mess with me. I get some respect in the community until somebody blows my head off because I shot somebody, you know, right? Or I go to jail for the rest of my life. You know, instead of college, I go to prison. So they create these abnormal goals and reward systems, which are basically detrimental to them. So anyway, they're going to say it is because our growing desire turn to pleasures and goals on offer and feel that they cannot extract any lasting satisfaction for them. So they can't get their needs met, right? Their emotional, social, economical needs met. As a result, we aim ourselves at various self-aimed enjoyments among food, sex, family, money, honor, control, and knowledge. Now, you know, I don't know if a lot of people are familiar with it. That word respect, it is taken to extreme measures nowadays, and people are getting shot because basically I don't like what you did, you know, things like that, you know. I think the term, some of the terminology they use, it, some of the things they say is that I don't fight, I shoot. So, you know, one thing for sure, one gun invites another gun. You know, so gun play creates more gun play. Fail to extract lasting pleasure from them and then turn on those desires more intensively and excessively to find some pleasure there. So these guys are not being successful. They're not happy, right? And they get desperate. They fail to extract lasting pleasure from you know, the normal things, food, sex, family, money, honor, control, and knowledge, right? And, you know, and truancy, ooh, we didn't even talk about that, but truancy is rampant in the United States. So we see these distortions upon natural human needs in all aspects of life. The ultimate society takes a turn towards becoming increasingly manipulative, exploitative, indifferent and abusive as more and more people lose sense of others and become greedier and more narcissistic on one hand, and more depressed, lonely, anxious, and stressed on the other hand. That means some people succeed at the risk of stepping on other people, as me and my friend used to say. There's nothing wrong with succeeding, but how many people have you injured in gaining your success? You need to think about that, because here they are right here, the ones that become more depressed, lonely, anxious, and stressed out, right? Failure to thrive, that's what I call it. Today's human ego has outgrown the system that we have created in the past to satisfy the system. You know what? I don't know if it's outgrown it or it was never designed for them. So what's happening is that this thing's becoming more violent, and increasing dissatisfaction grows into increasing division and hatred in society. The more division and hatred abound in the society, the more we see eruptions of mass shootings and other acts of terror. That's what the brother was talking about earlier today. So today we need a new system to master the the growing human ego, and just to provide a person's basic needs and improve his quality of life, right? They say the solution is to redirect how we enjoy our lives, aim at benefiting others, and establishing a new society of unity above the growing division. Good luck with that, you know, but we got to start somewhere because we did it before, right? As much as depression, loneliness, anxiety, and stress has risen in the last 20 or so years, studies such as happiness, science, and positive psychology have also emerged with various studies showing the benefits of positive human connection, that being better connected makes us feel happier and more confident. That's right. If we help each other, each one reach one, each one teach one. If we always did help each other, I could see and respecting each other. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's many reasons why people go off. You know what I'm saying? It's not to say that everybody go up with snap or feel the need to kill for the same reasons, but you never know what somebody's reason is. Unity is a bond to make us feel better, because it's nature's own quality, and nature itself develops to increasing states of connection. We need to feel connected, because I don't even think we feel connected. I don't even think they use the term brother nowadays. You say that, I don't know how many people say people using that term probably over 45 or something. I don't know. Do they use that term? That I'm even asking it. It's you know, kind of answers the question. So what we need to do is they call it the human ego. They said, but it's not egotistic to want to have your needs met. It's not egotistic to want to thrive or be successful in the society in which you live. That's nothing wrong with that. Well, they said the human ego eventually outgrew the level of unity. And then we have this, conundrum where you have these people doing the shooting. But I don't even remember that when we had any kind of level of unity here, being a black man in America, it seemed like we was always struggling for trying to get what we could get. And until this day. So I don't know what unity he's talking about. Anyway, this person appeared to be a Jewish person that's going to lead it to our next segment. But it has nothing to do with it, though. He says that he said take a page out of the Jewish people's book, right? Because they use unity, collective unity, and they hold it above the ego and social division, and basically said that they, that builds everybody up, right? As I succeed, you succeed, you succeed, I succeed, the community succeeds, so forth like that. That's a short story about it, right? So without debate about who the Jews are or are not, what their mission is or is not, unity trumps division every day. Your problem becomes my problem and the community's problem. Your success becomes my success and the community's success. That's the way we should be moving. Not stepping on each other, not robbing and stealing from each other, not sleeping with each other's wives or girlfriends or whatever. We should be moving in a positive way, building relationships, building families, building communities. Narcissistic, greedy, exploitative individuals, interest groups, and organizations and governments facilitate environments that are inadequate to sustain and improve the quality of life and success for everyone. Those who feel disconnected from the social economic matrix have a tendency to become disconnected from the humans or the natural need for humans to depend on one another to address their basic needs or natural needs. They feel or perceive the narcissistic, greedy, exploitative matrix as negative, out of control, and hopeless, and the cause of their grief and anguish. There's a thought. Take a page out of the Jewish book of unity and success, and a page out of Black Wall Street's book of unity and success, because we've done this before. Black Wall Street is not the only successful black community. I just like to use it. I think it's probably the one, most popular one. Anyway, so take a page out of what they did during a time when, they could take a black man and hang him and take pictures and nobody would go to jail for it, right? Just take a page. They built a more affluent community than their white neighbors back in, 1921, I think, right? So in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I think that's where the Gap Band is from. And, they had everything except one thing, a means of defending themselves. But still, they had that unity, right? And I think they built the place back up, but I don't think it was ever built back to its previous glory, right? Each one teach one, each one reach one, constantly helping one another to survive and improve their quality of life, thus improving the quality of life of the community, not just giving hope, but achieving goals that benefit everyone, creating more reason to live, thrive, and succeed than to die. That's what we need. It's not a novel concept, just an underutilized concept. And that's from Provocative Thought. And now I'm going to go to this issue with Kyrie Irving from Newswire today, right? Because I kind of touched on Kyrie Irving I think it was last week. And I'm just wondering, why is Kyrie Irving still being crucified, filleted, and buck broken in public? Kyrie has stated he can't be anti-Semitic, but did eventually apologize if anyone was offended. To date, no laws have been broken yet. Net owners and some offended Jews want to break Kyrie Irving. Are NBA players contracted not to read or share information that is offensive to the owners or Jews? Because I'm not really a sports guy. You know, I don't know what the sports contract looked like. You know, not the sharpest knife in the kitchen. But what is going on? Like, this is bizarre. And I don't see anybody on any major network speaking out against this. So I said, let me see what's going on here. Kyrie did something really bad. From freedomforum.org. They say, first of all, is it speech? Freedom of speech doesn't just apply to the words that come out of your mouth. It applies to a number of different forms of expression. Written works, online posts, movies, television. They got a whole lot of theater, art, video games, political yard signs, hanging out flyers. That's a whole bunch of stuff, right? So from slit.com, the right to freedom of speech and expression. The right to freedom of speech and expression is covered in the First Amendment, also known as the First Article. Under this amendment, all citizens can voice their opinion and express themselves freely. This also prohibits Congress from establishing a religion or promoting one over the other, abridging freedom of speech or freedom of religious practices or the right to assemble peacefully. It is one of the 10 amendments that make up the Bill of Rights. The First Amendment is also the reason why the media is not censored. Free press clause prohibits anyone from suppressing free speech. The free press clause prohibits anyone from suppressing free speech. But certain speech are not prohibited, are not protected by the First Amendment. Child pornography, fighting on words, among others. So what words are making? Maybe Kyrie said something, right? You know, I don't know Kyrie. So the right to free and unperturbed media. A U.S. citizen has a right to access
Hello.